kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to share something familiar with us, and I believe the Lord would address this with regard to our faith. And the title I have today is The Simplicity of Our Faith. The Simplicity of Our Faith. And I think if anything the Lord is doing with us is unraveling a lot of rubbish that we have picked up or in our heads over the years. And we know that this walk is a great deliverance. And part of that deliverance is the renewing of our minds. You see, psychiatrists, psychologists can't do this. They try to get people to think differently, to think positively, and so on. But they fail to really do anything effective because the heart has to be changed. Only God can do heart surgery. We know this because the Bible clearly says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you will think and you will ponder on those thoughts what are in the heart. And so this is why God renews the mind. He works on our hearts, changing them from stone to flesh. It is miraculous. It is a miracle. It is called the new birth. And only God's mighty hand can do this with us. Psychiatry can only just go so far. But with God, he goes all the way. And one thing we have to learn with the deeper life, that is the simplicity of our faith. And we're going to look at this today. And I want to start this off from the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We all know this very well, but I just want to read verses 26 to 31. We're primarily going to really look at verse 27. But we're going to read this from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 onwards, and we're calling it today the simplicity of our faith. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things which are and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So the first thing that we see very clearly, we are dealing with the sovereignty of God. And not only are we dealing with the sovereignty of God, we are dealing with the glory of God. What glorifies his name? There sadly is a lot that is done in Jesus' name that doesn't glorify him. And God has baptized us, empowered us in the Spirit, that we also become sensitive in our walk of faith what glorifies him. When we start to understand what glorifies Almighty God, we are beginning to understand the wisdom of God. And it is not like the world's wisdom. It is not like man. And so here, this very much reveals to us the title of what we're calling this today, the simplicity of our faith. And this is how God can achieve this and does in fact achieve it. Because he says, for you see your calling, so every one of us has a calling. So you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So he's immediately addressing the things of the flesh. Mighty after the flesh, the noble after the flesh. He says, fewer those people are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. That is the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of the flesh. That's what he means. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Now, it's interesting that the apostle addresses this to this church in Corinth. And remember that this church is an important church. It's in the capital of Greece at its time. It's a worldwide commerce, it's cultural, but it's also idolatrous and full of religion and paganism and so on. And so many of the converts have come out of paganism, have come out of seeing the flesh, the wisdom of man, the pride of man being exonerated. They've come out of that environment. You and I have come out of this environment where the world looks to education, looks to success, power, wealth, money, and all those things. And that is what God is still delivering us from, because those things complicate our faith otherwise. And we're calling this today the simplicity of our faith. And the apostle reveals in verse 26 that not many wise are called. Now, this isn't referring to one's call in life or your vocation. Many go to school, sixth form college, and then on to university, pursuing their vocation. And many people have a call. That is a calling. Your jobs that you have is a calling, but that's not what the apostle is talking about here. It's the call of God here by his word and his Spirit. It's the word, it's the Spirit of God that's calling us. And we call this the effectual calling. So God calls through the teaching, through the gospel, through the word of God. And it becomes effectual when we respond by faith and we believe upon the word of God. And we know also that in that calling, God has called and chosen the overcomers. But we only know that we are called of God if we stay with it and we endure to the end. They are the signs that you are called from the foundation of the world. And so by staying with it, hearing this word, because we know that faith comes by hearing the word, coming under the anointing, filled, baptized in the Spirit of God, this is how God calls us. Now, there are, as I see it today, there are two types of faith. There is a faith in flesh and man's wisdom. The world out there has a faith or a type of faith. Many put their faith in leaders. We've got an election coming up in this country for another prime minister, and people are going to put their faith in whoever they choose, their belief, in other words. So there is a faith in that sense, but that is based on man's wisdom, man's knowledge and intellect. And then there is the spiritual faith, which we receive by revelation and the new birth Christ imparted to us. And there is the difference. And so our wisdom comes from above. It comes from Almighty God, from our Father. And that's why he says here that not many mighty, not many noble are called. Few, in fact. It's not to say that they can't be, but few are called. Now, why does not God call many mighty and many noble? Well, you're talking about those of recognition, those of great wealth and nobility, and so on. Why does God not call these? Well, there are a number of reasons, but one of the reasons that come to me is so that they don't have control over you. That's certainly one of the reasons. The nobility, the elite in the world have control over people. They have control over commerce. They have control over banks and governments and so on. And this is why, of course, we have the corruption, which is getting worse and worse. They are of the nobility. And Jesus says there, few of those are called for that very reason. God cannot have in the house of God nobility where professing Christians are dominating or buying Christians, in a sense, making slaves of them. That is not the wisdom of God. They are controlled by the flesh, by the intellect, man's wisdom. But God calls the poor, the simple, the lowly, those who find it difficult, those who don't maybe fully understand, those that have learning problems, those that what the world rejects, God calls them. And do you know why he calls the lowly? Because God, in his love and mercy, can control them. Not in a dictatorial way, but in a control of love and obedience. And there is the difference. You see. And that's why few of us are from these higher ranks of society. Few of us have had the private educations that have gone to some of the top colleges and schools around the world. The elite, in other words. God calls very few of those. And why does he? Because God is dealing with the simplicity of our faith. We get a glimpse of this with the apostle when he was summoned to appear before Caesar. You remember, he was on his way to Rome. And listen to what it says here in Acts 25. And he's brought before Festus. Verse 5, chapter 25 of Acts, verse 5. Therefore he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there's any fault in him. So we see the intelligentsia, the elite, they're calling them, these are wealthy people, to see if they can find any accusation against the apostle to condemn him. That's why we see God calls very few of those people. You see, the Jews are laying complaints against the apostle. And so they want to find any accusation they can against him. And they're calling special people in which to find anything in which they condemn him. See, God doesn't call that type of person. And why am I stressing this? Because we're dealing with the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God's calling over our lives. And this is why I say so often, God does not make a mistake over your life and calling. It might look a mistake. It might look as though it's going from bad to worse, but he makes no mistake. Well, let's go back to Corinthians chapter 1 and looking now at verse 27. And he says, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. So our faith to work cannot be complicated. Why? Because God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. You cannot have an intellectual, wise faith after the flesh. And that's why there is so much unbelief in Christendom, because of that. Faith to work cannot be complicated. It isn't like the world and the world and how it thinks. We're, if you like, the foolish portions in society. The ones who look foolish, who are talked about and ridiculed, which we are or should be at times. Even our families take a step back from us because of our stand of faith. That's what God has called in this world. Why? Because the foolish are going to teach about faith. The foolish are going to expose the unbelief that's still in Christendom. The foolish are the ones who believe in the love and grace and mercy of God, because it cannot be known in any other way. You cannot know this walk of faith other than what the apostle is saying here. He's chosen the foolish of this world for the purpose to shame the wise, the proud, the arrogant. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And we are weak in ourselves, because there's not a lot we can depend upon. Whereas the noble, the elite, all those who pride themselves in their positions in the world and society, they have much in the flesh to rely upon and to reveal. They have good credentials. They've got a good CV. But we rely upon the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of Almighty God. And the foolish are going to teach about faith, belief in God's word and promises. Because why is this? Because it cannot be known in any other way. That is how God has decreed it in the church, in the world. This is why we are the foolish of the world. And God has decreed it so that these people will see that we walk by faith and not by sight. Else how will they know? Little wonder the enemy is working in the church like he does to unbelief and confusion for this very thing. You see, we receive our teaching via the Holy Spirit. We don't get our teaching through university and degrees and honours and education or other intellectual abilities which so many professing Christians look to. That's what you would get if you go to theological college. That's how they try to get their faith, their belief, their understanding of God, but they don't get it by the Holy Spirit. And there's the subtlety. God reveals his glory through the despised and the rejected and the base of this world. How do we know? Because it says that Jesus was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He did not look a good, pretty sight when being put to the cross and with those two other criminals as well. But there is the wisdom and mind of God. And Christ, who divested himself, divinity divested himself, didn't mind looking foolish, despised like the world. If he humbled himself to do that, then how much more do we? There is the simplicity of our faith, our belief. And why am I saying all of this? Because this is what exposes man's pride. This, in fact, is what exposes the devil's pride. It was his pride that caused him to fall. And this is what is exposing the powers of darkness, the pride. You see, pride hinders a simple faith. And this is why God still deals with pride in our life, because it's such a hindrance to a simple faith. You see, our deliverance is when we come to the place where we don't understand anymore. All the while we are trying to understand our faith, God still has got to deal with pride that is still the root that drives that. When we come to that place where we simply trust him, even though we don't understand, even though God requires whatever he does of me, God knows what he's doing. And of course, this was what God was doing with faithful Abraham. God brought Abraham to such a place of faith that he was willing to offer up his son, and he knew that God would raise his son up, because he said to the servant, "We shall return." Wasn't questioning. Trusting God. That is what God had done in this man, in working a simple childlike faith. This is absolutely imperative for us in this final lapse that we're in this walk, brothers and sisters. You see, the humble and the lowly, God will always exalt. And there is the difference. You will be raised up by the knees that you bowed in God's presence. And he will always raise us up. And he will confidently raise us up for his glory. Hallelujah. And so to walk by faith, it cannot be achieved by any human efforts. Faith comes by what? By hearing this word. And that's what we do. And as we read the word, we come so that the Holy Spirit imparts God's wisdom to us. And what is God's wisdom to us today? Is he saying, "I want you to have this simple, childlike faith." And trials are the best way to remove unbelief. Did you know that? Your trials that you're going through, or the trial that you went through last week, is tailor-made because it's removing unbelief in your life, your heart. And this is why God is calling us to walk now by faith in these last days. As we are seeing the rapid falling away, as we're seeing now, God is shaking the heavens and the earth. Everything is being shaken. Why is he called the lowly of this world? Because they haven't much in the way of resources to run to. They haven't the money to run to the arm of the flesh, like a lot of the elite can. So they are dependent upon God. And as we're finding the cost of living going up more and more and so on, this simply throws us more and more upon the mercy and grace of God and the promises of God. This is why today we're seeing so many that are going now to private means, whether it's in medical health or things that they buy, electric cars, all these things that cost so much money, foods now that they buy organic, and clothing and so on, all of it becoming more and more expensive. It will be out of the reach in the natural to most of us who've been called by God. And God is going to allow it to show that he will provide. That you don't have to run to the arm of the flesh to survive. God will feed us. God will protect us. God will heal us. And that is why he's working this simplicity of faith within us for this very thing that we are facing and will face. And that's why our faith has got to be kept simple, brothers and sisters. What does it say in Matthew 18, verses 1 to 5? You know this very well. Matthew 18. Verses 1 to 5, the apostles are looking to who's going to be the greatest and so on. And it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greater in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. See, what is Jesus dealing with here? He's dealing with intellectual pride. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to have the strength, the power, the control? You see, God's still working with these disciples. Then Jesus called the little children to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Wow, that's pretty strong stuff, what he's saying there. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." There he's dealing with pride. He's dealing with the main hindrance to our faith. And why does he choose children? Because children don't question like adults do. That's why. Children, yes, they're gullible, they're simple, they're naive. And it's so sad that they have to learn to be on their guard. They can't grow up as adults with that simplicity because man has fallen. He's lost his innocence, sadly. But in the spirit, that is how we are to be. And that is what God is working within each of us, to the point where we come, where we trust the Lord. We may ask the Lord questions. Children ask their parents questions or their teacher questions, but very seldom do they argue with it or say, "No, I don't believe what you have said," or question it. Children don't think like that, and nor should we. If what God has said to us, what he says to us in his word and his promises, we shouldn't question it, but embrace it and believe it. And know that in God's wisdom, he will teach us in that right time and way. That is how our faith grows, brothers and sisters. And there is the principle our Lord is teaching the disciples here. If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and he doesn't put them down, he doesn't say, "Well, you don't know what you're talking about. None of you will be." He doesn't say that. He shows how, if you want in the kingdom to be used. And God wants that. He likes that. But he's showing how it's to be done. And it's by a simple, childlike faith that simply believes and trusts our Heavenly Father, and knowing that he doesn't get it wrong, no matter how strange it looks, no matter what the situation looks like, or whatever. And it always does. Our trials look so peculiar, so strange. But they are not to God. Because remember, your trial is tailor-made, because God wouldn't let you go through it otherwise. Trust me. And it is for the purpose to simplify your faith and my faith, because this faith has to work. It is the deeper life. And God has not brought us all this way to let us down, to make fun of us, or to expose us, to make us look stupid, or whatever it is which the enemy likes to try and suggest to our minds. No, 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 no. God doesn't do that. And I'll tell you why. Because it's about his glory. God has invested his glory in each of us and Full Gospel Assembly. And he's going to make sure he glorifies his name. And the only way he does this and can do this is by calling the foolish the base of this world. That is the mind, that is the wisdom of God. And when you begin to understand that, when you begin to bow the knee to that, you will start to see your faith changing. You will start to see your faith working. You will no longer be doubting these great promises or whatever it will be, and particularly in the area of healing, the medical side, which is always in the natural, the controversial one. No, you won't be questioning any of that. It will be like breathing naturally. That's what faith is. You're simply carried along by the Spirit in that resting. But that is the hindrance, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27. And we must allow God to do this and work this within us. We're each of us coming to a place in the Spirit, not in the flesh I'm talking about, in the Spirit, where I know nothing unless it is revealed by my Saviour. Oh, we know a lot in the flesh. Oh, we got our heads crammed, but we cannot rely on any of that. My knowledge now comes through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and I only know when it is revealed to me, when he speaks it to me, and so on. That is how Jesus walked in his ministry, and that is how you have been ordained of God to walk in these last days, the same as well. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27 onwards is the key to this.
Jesus.